It's a pleasure and a joy to be here this morning. My name is Donna Simmons, and I am a senior at Princeton Theological Seminary. As part of our training, we have to participate at a church for a whole year to do our field education. So I'm blessed to be serving at Cedar Park Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia, where Dr. Janelle Dixon is the pastor. She, through your pastor, Pastor Barger, has invited me to proclaim the gospel this morning. And I truly, truly am grateful and thankful to be able to stand in this sacred space. I consider it an act of love from God to me to be able to proclaim his message to his people. And so I do thank you for the opportunity this morning. And I pray that you will receive a special anointing from the Word. Our sermonic text this morning comes from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, as presented in the Revised Standard Version. When I came to you, brethren, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God in lofty words or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in much fear and trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words or wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glorification. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man conceive, what God has prepared for those who love him. God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For what person knows a man's thoughts except the spirit of the man which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God, that we might understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, I do thank you for the opportunity to proclaim the good news. I truly count it an honor and a blessing to bring forth the word to your people, the children of God. May they be anointed. May they be uplifted. May they be encouraged. May they go forth with a new understanding. May they be so enlightened that they will want to share the message with others and to dwell on it and to ingest it and to take it in so that they can see that Christ still reigns, that his word is still alive, and that we are here to receive it. Allow them through the message to hear the voice of Christ and not the voice of Donna. And for this we do give you praise. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the Lord. Amen. Take a minute to think about someone who you know exemplifies wisdom. They may or may not have a formal education or have received a degree in higher learning, but they have gained and accumulated their wisdom from experience, from logical reason, and yes, maybe book smarts. When I think of those individuals who exemplify wisdom, we often go to them for advice, for they can see underlying risk, they can foresee pitfalls, they can present to us different scenarios and different situations, allowing us to understand and then to see the big picture. They are often put in roles of leadership. They know how to deal with people. They know how to effectively communicate with one another. They know how to achieve win-win situations for all parties involved. They may be considered great mediators. They are oftentimes equipped with persuasive language and excellent speech. These individuals exemplify the characteristics of human wisdom. The Christians in the Church of Corinth loved wisdom. They loved eloquent and persuasive speech. They loved those who had oratorical training and could present the gospel in the most lovingly and beautiful way. The city of Corinth in that day and time was much like a cosmopolitan city like New York City. There was Wall Street, trade, entrepreneurship, all in the pursuit of success, along with Broadway and Times Square. It was a major, major tourist attraction, and visitors regarded their stay there as a participation in a joyous and continuous celebration. In other words, like New York City, there was full of action all day and all night. In this text, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, which he founded. Paul had been gone for several years, and during this time, the Christians in Corinth had aligned themselves with different preachers in the church. Some aligned with those preachers who had baptized them. Some aligned with the preacher who happened to be on the same social and status level as them. Some aligned with those who shared the same political views as them. And then others aligned with the preacher who had the most beautiful and eloquent speech and exemplified wisdom and used persuasive language. Whatever the reason they aligned with those preachers can be summarized in what we call favoritism. As reported in chapter 1, some continued to follow the teachings of the Apostle Paul. Some followed the teachings of the pastor by the name of Apollos, who was a Christian preacher, very learned in scriptures, and characterized as an eloquent speaker in the book of Acts. And some followed Cephas. We know Cephas. Cephas was his Aramaic name, but we know him as the Apostle Peter. They say, I belong to Paul. Some say, I belong to Apollos. And some say, I belong to Cephas. The Corinthians loved these teachers' wisdom and the theological perspective that these leaders have brought forth. The Corinthians' perception of God is tied to these religious leaders' human wisdom and their particular religious views. They praise these leaders' human wisdom, and they in turn have begun to adopt some of their respective teachings. And as a result, they begin to praise their own wisdom. No doubt the Corinthians have become puffed up. Not only do they boast on their leaders who they most identify with, but they boast on themselves. Some of them are know-it-alls. You can't tell them anything. They have all the book smarts. They could answer every question on Jeopardy like Jeopardy James. They know how the church is to be run, and they think that they know everything about God. This kind of human wisdom gives one an attitude of self-reliance, and I dare say self-centeredness. The older saints in my tradition would call them educated. You fill in the blank. Educated, but maybe with no common sense. These Christians in Corinth don't understand true wisdom. Houston, we have a problem. These attitudes of self-reliance and self-centeredness resulted in rivalries which have caused division and quarrels in the church. Imagine that. Whenever we start putting human beings in the limelight instead of giving the true honor to God, there will no doubt be division and quarrels in the church. And so they have written this letter to Paul, wanting Paul to resolve some matters. They want Paul's point of view. They, in this letter, have expressed about 11 different concerns. One of the concerns being spiritual gifts. Some of the Christians in Corinth have a sense of spiritual elitism. They believe because they have been gifted with the gift of speaking in tongues that their gift trumps all other gifts. They are most spiritual because they can speak from the tongues of angels. And that is what it means to be truly spiritual. They have adopted a sense of spiritual elitism. Then in the church in Corinth, there is also socioeconomic division between the haves and the have-nots. This started when they would go to partake in the Lord's Supper. And instead of it being truly an act of the Lord's Supper, it began a feast where the haves would feast on glorious dinner and drink the best of wine. And those who are second-class citizens would have to receive the leftovers and receive the inferior wine, leaving them feeling humiliated and vulnerable. A division in the church between the haves and the have-nots. There are some issues in the church in Corinth, to say the least. And Paul in this letter is responding to these concerns, and he also reports to them what he has heard about these rivalries. Some follow Paul, some follow Apollos, and some follow Cephas. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, reminds them that when he came to Corinth to initially proclaim the gospel on which they were converted, he did not come with eloquent speech. He did not come with persuasive words and eloquent wisdom, but that he came in weakness and in fear. He came simply preaching Jesus Christ crucified. The church in Corinth was found on this principle alone, not in Paul's human wisdom, not in his own creation, not in his eloquent speech, but in weakness and fear, so that the gospel would be delivered with the power of God, so that the gospel would be heard through the Holy Spirit and with full conviction, so that all honor could be given to God and not to human wisdom. In other words, Paul understood that real power does not lie in a person's human wisdom, nor in the presentation of the preacher, but in the work of the Spirit. Since Paul had been away for several years, they did not fully comprehend the significance of Paul's initial proclamation. They did not understand his true belief in what true wisdom is, true wisdom being Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul wants to reiterate to the church in Corinth what the church was found on. He wants to unify them again on the most powerful message of the cross. The message of the cross is the power of God, where the crucified Jesus is proclaimed as the one who brings God's power to deliver humans from the evil of sin and from moral destruction. To keep it simple, Paul wants to reiterate to them that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Paul wants them to realize that their faith rests on this power and not on human wisdom. I want you today to realize that your faith rests on the power of God and not on human wisdom. Jesus Christ became for us wisdom from God and wisdom of God, as reported in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He became righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So we are not to boast on our own wisdom or the wisdom of others, but we are to boast in the Lord, in the Lord's wisdom, Jesus Christ crucified, Jesus Christ the crucified God. My siblings, my brothers and sisters in Christ, we have seen some political leaders and some preachers who we thought were full of human wisdom, and they eventually fell from grace with scandals involving money, power, and sexuality. However, Paul is not saying that we are to ignore the message of preachers, but instead he is saying that our human wisdom is to be anchored in the true wisdom, which is Jesus Christ. In other words, our human wisdom must be aligned with the power of God. It must be aligned with the power that comes through Jesus Christ, the power that comes through the message of the cross. However, for the Apostle Paul, the message of the cross is not only about deliverance from sin and moral destruction, but the message of the cross for the Corinthians and the message of the cross for us today is to also share in unity with the humiliated and the vulnerable. It is to share in unity with those who are weak. It is to share in unity with the have-nots. It is to share in unity with all members in their spiritual gifts bestowed on them by God, not just those who have the spiritual discernment of speaking in tongues like the Corinthians. We have each been granted a spiritual gift, and we are to be unified in Christ. For those who are mature, those who are anchored spiritually in the Lord, those who have accepted Christ, who is true wisdom, realize that wisdom of this age and human wisdom that come from political rulers and some preachers and those in authority, this cannot give us God's divine plan of salvation. That plan could only be implemented and executed through Jesus Christ, which was conceived even before creation. And those that understood that, they would not have crucified our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Alney Presbyterian, when we put our faith in the power of God, the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the human heart conceive, what God has prepared for those who love him. All other wisdom can't compare. And these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts of God bestowed on us. When quarrels and divisions arise in the church, let us remember the message of the cross, the true wisdom, which is Jesus Christ crucified. The Holy Spirit is powerful. This is the power of God that works within us. Let us look to the Holy Spirit within us, who searches the depths of God and gives us the mind of Christ, so that we do not look on our own human wisdom void of the Holy Spirit. We want Holy Spirit wisdom. We want Holy Spirit wisdom which comes from God, so that we may fully understand the gifts of God bestowed on us, even the gift of life, so that we may use our spiritual gifts for the common good. We may use our gifts of utterance of knowledge. We may use our gifts of utterance of wisdom. We may use our gifts of faith. We may use our gifts of prophecy. We may use our gifts of healing. And yes, we may even use our gifts of speaking in tongues or the interpretation of tongues, using these gifts for the common good, to uplift the kingdom of heaven, which is near, to uplift the kingdom of earth here on earth. What is the kingdom of heaven? The kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of mercy. It is the kingdom of grace. It is the kingdom of judgment, so that we may uplift the kingdom of God here on earth. You may be wondering, how do I get this wisdom that she is speaking of? How do I get this Holy Spirit wisdom? As recorded in the book of James, according to the book of James, if anyone is lacking in wisdom, or you feel like you have fallen short in wisdom, you are not quite making the best decisions in life, you're not making the best choices, James reminds us to ask God for this wisdom, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to you. But we are to ask in faith, asking faith, never doubting, so that you too can achieve and receive true wisdom. I can make this illustration concerning the Holy Spirit wisdom very simple. For those of you who might have seen the movie Harriet Tubman, and even if you didn't see the movie, we all know Harriet Tubman. Harriet Tubman, who on her journey to liberate slaves, to get the slaves to freedom. In her journey going over the dangerous land, she would often stop on the way. Something in her spirit caused her to pause. She would close her eyes and she would say, "No, no, we can't go this way. There is danger ahead. We have to go another way." This was the Holy Spirit wisdom that I'm talking about. Her wisdom, her human wisdom, would have told her that we can go on this path because this is the path that we went before a couple of months ago, and I led the slaves to freedom. We can go the same path. But no, the Holy Spirit says, "No, stop. You have to go another way." The Holy Spirit gave her a new direction on some of these journeys, a direction that would lead the weak, the humiliated, and the vulnerable to a new life, the gift of life from God. This is the kind of Holy Spirit wisdom I'm referring to. But this Holy Spirit wisdom is only made available because of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, the true wisdom. In conclusion, when someone asks us, "Where does our wisdom coming from?" Ani Presbyterian and those gathered here today, I pray that we can all say, "It's a gift from God, guided by the Holy Spirit, implemented by the way of Jesus Christ, Him crucified." This is understanding true wisdom. To God be the glory. Amen. Lord, I do thank you for the opportunity to proclaim your word. Let us be united in Christ, the true wisdom that is of God and from God. Let the body of Christ flourish. Let it be anew. Let it receive new gifts. Let us allow ourselves to use those gifts to go out to the community, to share in solidarity with the have-nots, to share in solidarity with the weak, to share in unity with those less fortunate. Let us take this message, Lord. Let us take it. Let us take the message of the cross, to have it be understood that it's not only deliverance from sin and moral destruction, but it's for us to be unified, to be unified, to get the message of the word out so that those who are in pain, those who are suffering, those who have doubt that you are real, those who say, "Where is God?" that they will understand that God is alive and that He still reigns and that He does grant new mercies each and every day. We be ever careful to give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, amen.